ghosts have murdered only 7 people.
We have painted a bloody picture, but it is only a small part of what actually takes place.
From a journey into a world where nightmare becomes reality.
You're listening to The World of Horror, and my name is Andy. Join me as we take a closer look at some lesser-known horror movies. Today's movie is Slaughterhouse Rock. It's an 80s horror film. It's an American film. And to categorize this, I would say it's pretty much a supernatural possession horror film. And it was directed by Dimitri Logothetis. And Dimitri Logothetis is a Greek-American filmmaker and actor. He is mostly known for reviving the Kickboxer franchise here recently. That was made famous by Jean-Claude Van Damme in the 80s. He produced a lot of the films in the franchise revival, and Slaughterhouse Rock was his second feature film that he directed. As far as the writing credits, the story was created by Dimitri Logothetis, but also written by Sandra Willard, Nora Goodman, and the screenplay was created by Ted Landon. The film stars Toni Basil, who started her career as a choreographer, working in such films as American Graffiti in 1973, and also appearing in Easy Rider in 1969. So she was mainly involved in music. Nicholas Solozzi also stars in the movie, and he's appeared in some 80s TV shows like The A-Team and Hunter, and he also appeared in Marked for Death, the Steven Seagal action flick. And he would later go on to produce a lot of things later on and do some writing and producing. And we also have actress Hope Marie Carlton, who also appeared in A Nightmare on Elm Street 4 as the pinup girl in 1988. And also she was Sally Campion in The Stand in 1994. And we have makeup artist Al Fleming portray the role of the Commandant, which is kind of like the main villain of this movie. But yeah, he was mainly known as doing makeup. And special effects were done by Kevin McCarthy, who did special effects for other horror films such as The Return of the Living Dead, Leprechaun, and Hellraiser 3. The 80s new wave band Devo was actually responsible for much of the soundtrack on this movie. This movie was set on the island of Alcatraz, and they did 4 days of exterior shooting at Alcatraz, but then all the interiors for the movie were shot at a studio in Culver City. Cinematographer Nicholas Joseph von Sternberg did the dolly shots for the movie by skating around on roller skates. Principal photography of Slaughterhouse Rock took place in Los Angeles, California, beginning March 23, 1987. Slaughterhouse Rock premiered in Chicago, Illinois on January 22, 1988, before premiering in New York City on May 21st of that year. RCA Columbia Pictures Home Video, now Sony Pictures Home Entertainment, released Slaughterhouse Rock on VHS in 1988, while Image Entertainment later released the film on Laserdisc on November 18, 1992. On December 5, 2016, Code Red released Slaughterhouse Rock on Blu-ray, which is followed by a DVD release by Kino Lorber on May 30, 2017. It has also been released on Blu-ray by Vinegar Syndrome as part of a two-disc set with Hard Rock Zombies. The budget for the film was a reported $2.5 million.
This theory holds that images are really biologically generated manifestations of a subconscious that surrounds our conscious self.
I haven't had a good night's sleep in weeks. I'm so tired, I feel like I have barbecue sauce for blood.
Maybe this is just a phase you're going through. Are you worried about anything in particular?
Only being locked in a padded cell the rest of my natural life.
Not crazy, so there's got to be a logical explanation for all this.
Have you ever had dreams like these?
Hell no.
Are you okay?
What happened?
Mangled remains of the group members were discovered outside the main cell block shortly before the boat was scheduled to leave.
For some reason, you have been chosen. This is a message of some kind.
All I've gotten out of this is a slamming headache, not to mention a shaky stomach.
For some reason, Alex is being called to Alcatraz.
Excuse me, lady, but it's always been my experiences that dreams don't involve so much audience participation.
Right.
Why now? Why you? And what for?
Look, I don't care.
I'm sure we can round up a whole heap of people simply by telling them that we found Alex in his bedroom.
Alex, things like this don't happen by accident.
Oh, Alex.
I got a big mess on my hands. That monster that I let loose is indestructible. All those souls are the source of his power, and the only way to destroy him is to set us all free.
No problem.
Richard!
Hey, buddy, come on, man. Me, yeah.
Alex, lie down. This thing which overtook him is pure evil.
What are you gonna do? Kill me?
He's coming, run! I never should have brought you here. It's my fault. It's my fault.
Oh, it's very important that I come here.
Run!
His head starts spinning around. I'm out of here.
Compels you. The power of Christ compels you.
As we get into the plot of the movie, we have Alex as our main character, and he is having some strange dreams. He lives with his brother, Richard, and he's telling his friends and his brother all about his weird dreams, but nobody really believes him, or they kind of think he's going a little nuts. But the dreams are basically about different scenarios where Alex is either chained up somewhere and some kind of demonic figure is stalking him, or he'll be dream that he's in bed and a demonic figure will grab him and do some violent things to him, or he's also had a dream that he's being eaten by somebody else, by some cannibal. Just all kinds of really gruesome, strange dreams. And we see a lot of similarities between this and the earlier Nightmare on Elm Street, which I'm sure this took a lot of inspiration from. You can see a lot of the special effects, a lot of the Dreamtime special effects were definitely inspired by the earlier movie. So to lift Alex's spirits, his brother Richard says, hey, let's go on a double date. And his girlfriend Krista, she brings along her friend Jan. And so Alex and Jan meet there at their house while Richard and Krista go back to the back bedroom to get down to business. Alex invites Jan to go out for a burger. So they go out to a restaurant. They go out to a diner and have burgers. And this movie is like pure 80s. I mean, the fashion, the set pieces, the diner itself, everything is just screaming, we are firmly in the 80s, and I love it. But anyway, so we get another sequence where Alex is kind of somewhere between the waking and the dream state. And we get kind of a similar effect with something trying to come through the wall behind Alex. Something that we see similarly in Nightmare on Elm Street in the first film with Nancy in bed and Freddy kind of leaning over her, like his face stretching out the wallpaper, that kind of effect. But as the film goes along, Alex finds out that the dreams are kind of revolving around Alcatraz. And they kind of find out that before Alcatraz was a prison, there was actually some other things that went on there, some historical battles and things like that. And they actually have a teacher at their high school, I guess they're high school students, or at least Alex's. And she kind of tells them the story, the history of Alcatraz, and the importance of why it may be appearing in his dreams. And there's some kind of sinister figure there that was buried on Alcatraz, that died on Alcatraz, and he is trying to reach out from beyond the grave. And there's also this story of a band that went to Alcatraz. They're not sure why they went there, but they were part of a tour, and they kind of broke off from the tour, and the band all got killed there, and along with their lead singer, Sammy Mitchell. The band's name was Body Bag, so I guess they were into gruesome stuff, and so they wanted to go maybe do something special at Alcatraz, but they ended up getting killed by the spirit, and so now their spirits are trapped at Alcatraz. And so that's kind of a recent news event for Alex and his friends. They hear about these murders And so that kind of creates more mystique around Alcatraz and things like that. And his dreams progressively get weirder and weirder and actually start to cross over into the real world. So much so that his friends, one night when he's trying to sleep, you know, I think Jan is staying over because she's worried. They kind of have developed this relationship, her and Alex. And so Jan really begins to care for Alex, and she becomes increasingly worried about him because of these dreams and because of his mental state. So she sleeps over one night, and she hears Alex making noises in his bedroom, kind of screaming or whatever. And she goes in there and she sees Alex floating about 6 feet up in the air with this beam of light underneath him. And so she grabs Richard, you know, his brother, and says, "Hey, come look at this." And so Richard and all of their friends all see Alex floating up in the air, kind of Exorcist style. And Alex is having this dream that he's being held up above this fire and being cooked alive and eaten by this cannibal guy. They do wake him up, and he wakes up, and kind of things turn back to normal. But Alex is really concerned. He's like, "We got to do something about this. I'm going crazy." And the teacher actually shows up. Caroline is her name, and she is really into the occult. And so she says that he needs to go to the island to face down the ghost, this ghost that's terrorizing him in his dreams. And so, you know, we have this friend group. You got Alex and Jan, which are a couple. Then you have Richard and Krista, which, you know, Richard, his brother, and Krista, his brother's girlfriend, which are a couple. And then you have two other friends that are kind of like just kind of goofball characters. They're kind of clowns. They kind of make a lot of jokes at the beginning of the movie. We kind of get that they're there for just kind of the body count, you know, to kind of round out the body count. And so, you know, they get to the island, and everybody, you know, especially the two friends that are kind of the class clowns, they think this is a bad idea. All right, why are we doing this? And Richard just told them, "Hey, we're trying to help out Alex, my brother. Don't you want to help him out? He's your friend too." And so they get to the island, and that's where things start getting bad, because once they get there, that kind of triggers the spirit to be more active. As we go through the rest of the movie, we get a possession and we get some kills. We get some decent gore too in this movie. You know, you can see, you know, the Kevin McCarthy, the guy that did some special effects for some other horror movies. He has some talent there. And so the special effects are pretty good in this movie, you know, with the kills there. And so this movie is pretty cool. It's definitely like it's a fun turn your brain off, just 80s, one of those 80s teen horror movies. Something similar to an 80s slasher, but with, instead of a killer, it's more of like a possessed person killing people. But it's like, it definitely fits in with a lot of 80s horror movies coming out at the time. Around 87, 88, you have a lot of these teen horror things. They have cool soundtracks, you know, you got the 80s feel to it. So I really enjoyed this one. I like the story. I like the characters. Special effects are pretty cool. You know, the music was great. Especially love the music. It really added to the atmosphere of this movie. And it was a cool setting being shot, you know, as far as some of the exterior shots being shot in Alcatraz. That was really cool. The interiors were more on like a film set in California. But they did a really good job of making it look like Alcatraz. So yeah, I definitely recommend this movie. I feel like this one hasn't really been talked about much. I think I remember seeing this one at the video store. The cover art is really kind of iconic for me. So I think I must have seen it at the video store when it, you know, back in the 80s when I went. I never did rent it or anything, but it was definitely one that brought back memories. And I was able to stream this movie on Shudder. It's also on Amazon Prime. You know, you got the HD version is on Prime, and it's on Shudder. It's also on Plex and Freevee with ads. It's also on Tubi too, so it's available to watch in a lot of places. So I think this one, just for whatever reason, and it just kind of gets lost in the shuffle of some of the other movies that come out during that time. And I wanted to watch this one. It looked interesting, and I wanted to tell you guys about it. Say, hey, there's another movie that maybe you haven't seen yet. Especially if you like possession movies, this one is like possession slash slasher, you know, I would say. You get both of those kind of tropes in this movie. It's a fun movie. Go check it out. I think it'll really resonate with a lot of people that love 80s movies. If you're a hardcore horror fan, I think you'll enjoy it. It's definitely not a slow, you know, it's not like a slow burn. So it's a fun movie. Turn your brain off. Just sit back and enjoy. So once again, I'm Andy, and I want to thank you guys for coming along and taking a look at a lesser-known horror movie. Hopefully, it gave you something new to watch tonight. You've been listening to The World of Horror.